So today, in the gospel, Jesus pretty much turns our world of conventional wisdom upside down, right? I mean, all these, the three parables that he talks about, I mean, who in their right mind would leave 99 sheep to look after the one lost sheep? I mean, what do you want? You want 99 or one? Which one you want? I mean, you could replace 99 with anything. 99 cents, 99 sheep, 99 whatever. 99 or one. That's just bad business. I'd rather have 99 than one. Or who in their right mind would search the entire house for just one little stupid coin? You know? And after she finds the coin, what does she do with it? She calls the whole neighborhood to celebrate. I mean, what do you think the neighbors would think? I mean, there might be a sign outside her door that says, Penny Recovery Party. We got some crazy neighbors out there. You know? Ridiculous. Or who in their right mind would forgive someone who was unwilling to wait for you to die? Basically, the younger son is saying, you know, Dad, I know I'm going to get my money from you, but I'd rather wish that you were dead. You know, and I mean, you know, in fact, I can't wait for you to die. I'm going to get my money now. And he gets the money, squanders it, disowns his father. And the father still takes him in and throws a party. Which father would do that? Not my dad. And if I had kids, I wouldn't do that to my son. You know, all these parables. I mean, it's not common sense. It doesn't make sense. Why? Because it's contradictory to the logic of justice. The logic of justice is a very calculating mentality that is not based on grace, forgiveness, and love. Rather, it deals with owing and being owed. I do this for you, you do that for me. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. You hurt me, I hurt you. All right, you know what I'm talking about? And pretty much, this is kind of the world that we live in, no? For the most part, right? And it's not even, it even starts at an early age. It's, I would say, this logic of justice we're born with it. It's instinctual. Let me give you an example here, okay? Let's say your parents, okay? And for those of you who have, you know, many children, you know what I'm talking about. You got kid number one, kid number two. All right? To kid number one, you give them one scoop of ice cream. Kid number two gets two scoops of ice cream. What happens? What do you normally hear the kids say? Well, that's not fair. Well, how come I the one who is one scoop and two scoops? That's not fair. You'll never hear the end of it. You'll never hear the end of it, right? How come one kid gets one scoop, other kid gets two scoops, right? And rightfully so, right? I mean, if my brother is getting two scoops, I should be getting two scoops too, right? And it's not the logic of justice is always a bad thing, okay? The logic of justice helps to protect the vulnerable and to really make things fair. So you can get two scoops. We have things such as minimum wage, unions, you know, the right to sue people, right? The right to an attorney, right to defend yourself. All these things operate under the logic of justice. But these three parables, the lost sheep, lost coin, the lost son, it operates not under the logic of justice, but under the logic of grace, forgiveness, and love. And the logic of grace, forgiveness, and love trumps or triumphs the logic of justice, okay? And the logic of grace, this is not a calculating mentality that looks to the self. Instead, it looks to the other. Even if I don't owe you anything, you know, I'm going to give you something. I do this for you, but without the intention of wanting anything in return. I'm not going to demand recompense, even if you hurt me. Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, says, in all these three parables in the gospel, which Jesus tells in response to the question of why he eats with sinners, he puts emphasis on God's initiative. God is the shepherd. who goes out looking for that lost sheep. God is that woman who lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and searches everywhere for that lost coin. God is the father who watches and waits for his the younger son to come back to him. And before we ever love God, it is God who loves us first. And it is God who never fails to take the initiative to love us. And in their second reading, St. Paul beautifully gives testimony of this. St. Paul, who says he was a blasphemer, he was treated with mercy. He says, "For this reason, I was mercifully treated, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life." And because God takes initiative, we too are also called to do the same. We too have to take the initiative in practicing not the logic of justice, but the logic of grace, forgiveness, and love. And this is done through the concept, the church teaching of the preferential option for the poor. Have you heard of this? Preferential option for the poor? All right? It's not like, okay, be nice to homeless people, all right? Although you could. It's not that God plays favorites or that we should love poor people more than rich people, right? It's something like this, all right? Let's say you're the parents, all right? And you got five kids. And the first four kids are excellent. You know, these kids are like model prime examples, right? They get a good education, get good grades, get a good job, and you're very proud of them. But the fifth one, it's like, "Oh, how you doing? I'm fine. Oh, how's the family? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, fine. The fifth one, oh, we're good, you know. You'd rather just not talk about that fifth one, because that fifth one is like that black sheep in the family. Because that fifth one is like, I'm not so proud of this one. Maybe that fifth one just hung around with the wrong crowd, wrong time. Maybe that fifth one has some kind of problem. Maybe that fifth one has addiction to alcohol or addiction to drugs. Maybe that fifth one is not so smart. Maybe that fifth one is not so athletic. Maybe that fifth one was born with a mental illness. So you'd rather just not talk about that fifth one. And you're embarrassed, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're impatient. But naturally, out of those five kids, which one are you going to focus on more? Which one? The sixth one? I only said five, okay? Which one are you going to focus on more? Fifth one. Why? Do you love the first four less? No. Rather, you're taking a preferential option for the poor. You're taking a preferential option for the fifth one. Not that you love the first four less, right? But you focus on that fifth one because that fifth one needs more help, right? And we prefer to help the fifth one because he needs help. And actually, the entire family should gather around that fifth one. Not under the logic of justice. Well, two scoops of ice cream, one scoop of ice cream. Well, how come I'm the older brother? No fattened calf, no nothing. When the younger brother gets... Not under the logic of justice, but under the logic of grace, forgiveness, and love. That's preferential option for the poor right there. This week, I ask you to continue to pray. This one. What is this? Yeah, red book or burgundy book. All right. Keep going. Keep running the race. Week three. All right. Week three. Keep at it. All right. And also ask yourself this week, how can I really practice this concept of the preferential option for the poor? Who are the people around me that's really in need? Who are the people around me that's really in need? And just pick one person, and like God, who takes the initiative in loving us, how can I do the same? How can I do the same for this person that's in need? Maybe it's that black sheep. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's your coworker. I don't know. But who is this one person that's really in need? And how can I exercise the preferential option for the poor? Not under the logic of justice, a calculating mentality, but under the logic of grace, forgiveness, and love.